So why do we sing this song every morning, every time before the class? Tava Kathamritam. Who can tell me?
Why?
Yeah.
Because you're glorifying Prabhupada.
Very good. Before that, Tava Kathamritam. What does Tava Kathamritam mean? Tava means your. Your means Krishna's. Kathamritam means nectarian words. Amrita, my katha. Tava kathamritam. So what does the nectarian words of Krishna do? Tapta jivanam. Tapta means very hot, burning. Our existence in the material nature is like, every morning we sing Sangsara Dava Nalalita Loka, as if we are burning in the forest fire of material existence. We are burning, but do we feel that we are burning? Why is that? We are burning, but we don't feel the burn. Why is that? Very good. That is Maya, due to Krishna's illusory energy. Due to Krishna's illusory energy, we don't experience the terribly suffering conditions that we are in. But in reality, it is tapta jivanam. And what does Krishna consciousness do? Krishna katha do? It extinguishes. Sansara dava nalalidha loka tranaya karunya ghana ghanatam. Tranaya, in order to deliver us from the suffering condition. So Krishna katha, words about Krishna, relieves us from the suffering condition of material existence. Just like the torrents of rain can extinguish the forest fire. Otherwise it's very difficult to extinguish a forest fire. And they have to make so many different arrangements. Nowadays they can extinguish, but after a lot of trouble. Like in America, in some places, you get this big forest fire. And it comes to the edge of the city. Practically, the whole city is about to be burnt to ashes. Then what do? They have all kinds of arrangements. They go with the planes and they spray the fire extinguishing element. But by nature's arrangement, ghana ghanatam, torrents of rain. So Krishna consciousness is like a torrents of rain that extinguishes the forest fire of material existence. Do you feel that you are suffering? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. So you have become free from Maya. So this is how we are actually blessed by Krishna's nectarian words. This Krishna katha and Tava Kathamritam are of two kinds. Words spoken by Krishna himself and the words that have been spoken about Krishna. What are the words that have been spoken by Krishna himself? Bhagavad Gita. And about Krishna? Srimad Bhagavatam and other such scriptures. So many scriptures spoken, like Garga Samhita is one such scriptures that we are discussing. Tava Kathamritam Tapta Jivanam. And kobi bhir iritam. Who describe this Krishna Katha? Who speak and distribute this Krishna consciousness? Kobi bhir, the most learned and advanced spiritual personalities. Who is the original kavi in that respect? Adi kavi. Who is the Adi kavi? Lord Brahma. Very good. Tene Brahma Rida Adi Kavaye Muihanti Chatsurayaha. So Brahma, Narad, these are the personalities who distribute Krishna consciousness. They are the Kobi Bhir Iritam. And as a result of that, Kalma Shapaham. These narrations, these nectarian narrations of Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's teachings, destroy all our sinful reactions. Kalmasha apahanam. The sinful reactions are stolen away. Kalmasha apaham. And shravana mangalam. When we hear these nectarian words, it brings all auspiciousness. Shravana mangalam. And srimadatatam. It gives us the greatest spiritual wealth. And bhuvi grinanti ye bhuri rajana. Those who distribute these nectarian words of Krishna, they are indeed the most munificent personalities. Bhuri rajana. So you sing this, as Chandrasekhar pointed out, this is in glorification of Srila Prabhupada. Who is that Bhuri Rajana? Who is that most munificent personality? So are you all benefiting from this Krishna Katha?
Yes.
How many of you didn't fall asleep during the class today? Did not fall asleep. And how many of you fell asleep? Is it? I'm inspired. Inspired because when Lord Ramchandra killed Kumbhakarna, you know Kumbhakarna? Ravan's brother. Kumbhakarna used to sleep throughout the year. And only one day he used to be awake in a year. So Kumbhakarna was a big shelter of Nidra Devi, goddess of sleep. So when Ramchandra killed Kumbhakarna, with tears in her eyes, goddess of sleep, Nidra Devi, approached Ramchandra. You took away my biggest shelter. Where shall I go now? Ramchandra said, don't worry. Wherever there will be Bhagavad Katha, you can go there. Do you think I'm lying? It's up to you. So, don't you see that? When somebody comes and tells me that he or she cannot sleep, I tell them, go to ISKCON temple and sit in the Bhagavad class. And it works. So those who fell asleep, that shows that the real Bhagavad Katha was going on. So, yeah, what are the other benefits? Other benefits? Ramananda, where is that? What is the other benefits? And somebody has told me that although I heard these stories, but it's so wonderful to remember them again. And so that's the thing, like Krishna Katha should never become boring. More we hear, the newer and newer realization it gives. What to speak of when these descriptions are more detailed. And there are some books like that, there are so many books like gives detailed descriptions of Krishna's pastimes. For example, the Mahabharata is there, here, has a number of shlokas. I think Mahabharata has about 100,000 verses. But in the heavenly planets, Mahabharata is 10 times larger. Why? It is more descriptive. More details are there. So, the scriptures also come with new and near revelations. Don't you feel that? Reading Bhagavad Gita, it is coming with greater realizations. Each time I'm sure most of us experience that even Prabhupada's purports, so often we notice, this thing we didn't notice it before, what Prabhupada is saying. The reason is, the more we make advancement, these realizations become more and more extensive. This is the thing about spiritual practice. More we make advancement, automatically the awareness of Krishna, awareness of spiritual teachings become more and more clear. And that's actually what happens. In spiritual advancement or in spiritual life, our understanding is not acquired from external source. The actual understanding is coming from our internal realizations, inner realizations. Tene Brahmarida, Brahmarida. The transcendental knowledge was revealed in the heart of Brahma. Divyagyan Hriday Prakashita. The transcendental knowledge is revealed in the heart. Divyagyan Hriday Prakashita. So that is the meaning of revelation. Spiritual awareness, spiritual knowledge is a matter of revelation. It's revealed in the heart. And that's the difference between recollection, recollection, and revelation. So, recollection is from the memory. We have it in our memory and we recollect. We collect them. collect those informations. But revelation is a matter of being revealed. We are not aware of it before. It was not there in our memory or anywhere. It is from the heart it is revealed. The spiritual awareness is a matter of revelation. But hearing, it helps. By hearing, the revelation becomes accelerated. Anyway, so therefore it is very important that we associate with senior devotees, more advanced devotees. Sadhu Sangha Sato Bari. We should seek for more advanced association. Why? Because from more advanced association we can get greater and better informations. We can get the informations from by reading books, but that's not enough. By reading books is not enough. In order to, the books have to be clarified. Therefore we need a teacher. Tadbiddhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadikshanti te jnanam. And what is his qualification? Jnanina stattva darshina. He has the knowledge. Therefore he can give it to us. So who is a teacher? One who has the knowledge. And that's the matter with every aspect of acquiring knowledge. Can a child take a book of ABCD and learn? No. But somebody who knows the ABCD teaches him. And that way our sphere of knowledge increases, go higher and higher. And ultimately, it comes to the scripture. All knowledge must lead to the scriptures. Spiritual information, spiritual knowledge. And we have to find a spiritual teacher, the spiritual master, Sadguru. And what is the qualification of a Sadguru? Bona fide spiritual master. The qualification of one of our spiritual master is that he is a transparent vaya medium. He is transmitting the knowledge just the way his guru gave it to him. Transparent. Transparent means the light is not obstructed. There are different types of medium of light. Translucent. No, first is opaque. Opaque is the substance through which no light passes. Then translucent. Some light passes, but some lights are obstructed. But some are transparent. In transparent, there is no obstruction of lights. Transparent. Now it actually, although it states, it is mentioned about transparent, but it even goes beyond that. What is beyond that? Beyond transparent? Very good. Magnified. Say a glass. No light obstructs. But with a lens, what happens? The object becomes bigger, magnified. and what is beyond that. What is beyond that? Did you say something, Mother Vendra?
Transcendental,
no. Transcendental is there. Transcendental is the object. Telescopic. Isn't it? What is a telescope? Many lenses are there. So that is telescopic. So not one medium, but many medium. That is Guru Parampara. Guru Parampara aspect is the entire Parampara. Like a telescope has, what is a telescope? A set of many lenses. So, there are many such personalities are bringing the distant object, as you said, Shrivas, transcendental object, Krishna, close to us. So, that is the process. Isn't it scientific? Always remember that Krishna consciousness is a science. Krishna consciousness is not just some sentimental presentation. It's a science. What's the definition of science? Okay, close. Quite close. Theory and proof. Okay. What is science? What is the definition of science? Experimentally verified facts. Let's hear from a brilliant scientist here. So, okay, so can Krishna consciousness be experimentally verified?
Yes.
Everything can be experimentally verified. Does the soul exist?
Yes.
How do you prove that? Nimesh? No, what's your name?
Anish. There's a difference between, it's very evident that there is a difference between red body and the rain body. One cannot have the same feelings for red body as for rain body. I mean, there is a loss of some substance in the red body.
What's the difference between a dead body and a living body?
It's the loss of soul in the red body.
Okay. One is a body with soul, the other is body without soul. Does matter have consciousness? So, a body with a soul, although made of matter, has consciousness. Where does the consciousness come from? And when the soul leaves the body, body dies. Existence of the soul is proven. Right? Like, the problem with today's world is that they want empiric proof, meaning proof that can be seen, that can be perceived by senses. Right? But that's their mistake, that's their fault. Like, senses cannot perceive everything. For example, do you have a mind? Have you seen it with your eyes? Did you touch it with your hand? Did it smell it with your nose? So with your senses, could you perceive your mind? But do you accept that you have a mind? So, how do you prove the existence of the mind with your, in your sense perception? But yes, you can understand that you have a mind. How? By your intelligence. The senses may not perceive it, but with your intelligence you can conceive it, comprehend it. Right? So similarly, with your intelligence you can appreciate the existence of the soul. Therefore, it has been always said that it takes a very intelligent person to understand this spiritual subject. Sudhir Bhokta Dugdhangitamritam Mahat. The nectarian words of nectarian wisdom of Bhagavad Gita can be appreciated only by very, very intelligent individuals. Now, is it surprising that not many people are accepting Krishna consciousness today? Is it surprising? Why not? Tulsi Manjari? Yeah. Today's world, there are very few intelligent people. The whole world is full of idiots. So that's why Bhagavad Gita. But the devotees are creating their intelligence. Devotees are going out and making them understand. And this is how they're sharpening their blunt intelligence. And therefore, there is a need for preaching. So this morning, I discussed about Krishna's arrival in Mathura. Now, as I mentioned, that there are many things that I am not able to discuss or describe because of, I have to compile everything or compact everything in within this short span of time. So, but still I thought that one anecdote that I will mention. You remember Krishna killed the washerman? And okay, let's just go deeper into that also. Do you know who is that washerman? That washerman, don't speculate. If you don't know, keep quiet. During Ramchandra's reign, do you remember? One washerman was criticizing Lord Ramchandra's character. His wife was having some clandestine activity, some immoral relationship with some man. So while he was chastising his wife, he told, "Do you think I am like Ram? His wife will have an affair with somebody else and I will not tolerate, I will not say anything." So when that, when Lord Ramchandra heard that people are questioning Sita's character, and so he banished Sita Devi. So it is that washerman was born as Kamsa's washerman. In that pastime, Lord Ramchandra didn't do anything, but this pastime he wiped him out. Similarly, when Krishna was just going, he came across, you remember after that, who came across? The weaver who dressed him up. Then Sudama, the flower artist, the flower garment maker. Sudama decorated Krishna and Balaram. And then Krishna and Balaram came across a hunchback woman. She has been identified sometimes as Kubja. Kubja means hunchbacked. And sometimes also as Trivakra. Her body was bent in three places. So hunchbacked women are like that. So Krishna asked, "Who are you?" She said, "I am Kamsa's sandalwood pest maker." So Krishna said, "So will you give me some sandalwood?" She said, yeah. I was all this while I was serving Kamsa, but now that I have seen you, I decided only to serve you. And she decorated Krishna with thick sandal vest and Balaram. And Krishna jokingly addressed her as the most beautiful woman. She was hunchback, anybody can see. She was far from being beautiful, but Krishna called her beautiful. Now, can Krishna's words ever go in vain? So what did Krishna do? Krishna pressed her toes with his toes and put his hands under his chin and gave a jerk. And her body became straight as a stick. And she became so beautiful. So she invited Krishna, please come to my house. And Krishna said, not now, I have some mission to accomplish. I'll come some other time. So Bahulasha asked, who is this hunchback woman who was so fortunate to receive such mercy of Krishna, from Krishna? Then Narad Muni told him. When Lord Ramchandra was in the forest, Panchavati, one morning, Ram and Lakshman came after taking a bath in the river. And there appeared an extremely beautiful woman. So she said, please marry me. Ever since I saw you, my heart has become so afflicted. It seems that I can't live without you. Ramchandra could understand who that beautiful woman was. So Ramchandra told her, look, I'm already married. So marrying me is not really going to serve your purpose. Rather, you'll cause a lot of envy, because my wife is already there. But my younger brother, he is single. So you have to approach him. So she approached Lakshman. Lakshman also started to reason with her. Look, marrying me, if you marry me, then you have to become subordinate to my elder brother's wife. So you would like that. So even though he has one wife, but at least you'll become equal to her. So you'd better approach him. So she approached him also, Ramchandra. And this way went back and forth a few times. And then this lady became so upset that she assumed her hideous Rakshasi form. And she wanted to devour Sita, thinking that Sita is the cause of all her problem. And at that time, Lakshman, with a knife, chopped off her nose and ears. Who was that? That Surpanakha actually became Kubja. And in this way, she desired to have the association of Lord Ramchandra, and although in Ramchandra's pastime he could not fulfill her desire, but in Krishna Chandra's pastimes he fulfilled her desire. So in this way Krishna fulfills everybody's desire when one intensely desires something from Krishna. So Krishna then made Ugrasen the king. Ugrasen was Krishna's maternal grandfather, his mother's father. Not mother's father, mother's uncle. Elder brother. His mother's father was Devaka, and Devaka's elder brother was Ugrasen. So in the Vedic custom, the eldest brother actually inherits the property. So now the question arises, why Krishna didn't become the king himself? And why didn't others persuade him? Because Ugrasen was quite old. Krishna was young. He was so powerful. Then we again have to go back to history. The history is, there was a king called Nahush. Nahush had a son called Jajati. King Jajati was hunting in the forest, and at that time he heard the cry of a woman. So he, following that sound, he came to a well, and he found a beautiful young girl is in the well. So he rescued her. That girl happens to be the Daityaraj Vrishabharbha's daughter. The king of Daityas, the king of the demons, is Vrishabharbha, and Vrishabharbha's daughter Sharmishtha. So and Vrishabharbha's guru, the guru of the demons, is, who is the guru of the demons? Shukracharya. So Shukracharya also had a daughter. Her name is Devjani. So one day, Sharmishtha and Devjani and other girls went to take bath, sport in the river. And at that time, Devjani by mistake put on Sharmishtha's dress. So Sharmishtha got very upset, and both of them quarreled, and Sharmishtha threw Devjani in that well, and they all walked away. So King Jajati rescued Devjani. So when Shukracharya got to know what Sharmishtha had done, so he became very upset. So he decided to leave Vrishabharbha's court. And Vrishabharbha, without his guru's direction, was in great difficulty. So he made truce with Shukracharya, and Shukracharya, Sharmishtha, Shukracharya gave Devjani in marriage to Jajati, and Devjani made a condition that Sharmishtha has to become her maidservant. So Devjani got married to Jajati, King Jajati, and Sharmishtha also went. Shukracharya was worried that this beautiful Sharmishtha, Jajati can become attracted to her. and therefore he may associate with her and become attracted to her. And so he made Jajati a condition that you should never have any sexual relationship with Sharmishta. That was the condition. Anyway, they went. Sharmishta was there, Devjani is there. And few children were born from Devjani. And Sharmishta also appealed to Jajati that she wanted to have his association. So being persuaded in this way by her, King Jajati had two sons from Sharmishta. When Devjani got to know that, she became very upset. She left Jajati's palace and went back to her father's house. In those days, that was the extreme that they used to go to, no divorce. At the most, go leave the husband's house and go to father's house. So, and then Jajati went, okay, Madhavendra. So, when Jajati went to Sukracharya, Sukracharya cursed him that you become afflicted with old age. Jaragrastha. Jara means old age. And immediately he became completely old. Anyway, he came back to his palace and he called his sons. Oh yeah, and then when he appealed to Shukracharya, please, free me from that curse. I still have desire in my heart to enjoy like a young man. So then Shukracharya said, okay, if one of your sons accept your jara, your old age, decayed condition, then you can get back to your youth. So Jajati came back to his palace and he called all his sons. The eldest one was Jadu. So he asked Jadu whether he would take his old age. So Jadu reasoned with him that, look, I am young and I am not in a position to take your old age right now. So he refused. So Jajati cursed him that he'll never become a king. And none of your descendants will ever become a king. And now in which dynasty Krishna appeared? Jadu dynasty, in the lineage of Jadu. And they meant not to be ever king, so Krishna did become a king. See, this is the thing, it's, sometimes when it's very painful to see, you read things about Vedic scriptures and they say Hindu mythology. But there is such a distinct chain of incidents. How can it be mythology? How can it be fictitious stories? This is more than history. It goes right from the origin to it's coming to the base. So this is the unfortunate state of affairs of India and Indian scholars. The British very systematically made the Indians believe that Indian literature, Indian wisdom, Indian culture, Indian philosophy is useless. Because if they didn't prove that, they couldn't rule over that country. That's why they had to make the Indians suffer from a complex. And although the British left, but the influence of the British is still prevalent. In that way, Indians are real ripe coconut. You know what is a ripe coconut? Brown outside, white inside. So, they have the complexion brown, but internally they are so much deep-rooted influence of the British education system. And actually we can see what a great benefit Srila Prabhupada has brought to us. It is due to Srila Prabhupada, at least we have become aware of India's rich heritage. And irrespective of our nationality, we are accepting the Indian culture. Because it's the most profound spiritual culture, most profound philosophy, most profound literary descriptions. So this is how Srila Prabhupada is actually literally Gyananjana Shalakaya. Isn't it? Om Ajnana Timirandhasya. We all were in deep darkness of ignorance, and by the touch of his transcendental mascara of transcendental knowledge, he's opening our darkened eyes. So that is why we can see why Krishna didn't become king. Because he was not meant to be. In the Jadu dynasty, also Krishna's father Vasudeva didn't become a king. Also a prince, but he didn't become a king. And okay, so Krishna killed Kamsa, released Ugrasen and Vasudeva and Devaki. The union of Devaki and Vasudeva with Krishna we described yesterday. It was such a touching scene. The father actually described this morning. Just consider the parents met two lost children after so many years. They haven't, since their birth, they didn't see them. And not only see them, they had to go through so many difficulties, so many tribulations, imprisoned, tortured. But they tolerated everything for the sake of their son. So now they met their son. So it was a very, very joyous occasion. When Nanda Maharaj embraced Vasudev, their friends. So Krishna requested, why don't you stay here for some time? Nanda Maharaj said that, no, I have to go. Krishna, will you come with us? Won't you come with us? Krishna said, look, I have to stay here. See, I met my parents after such a long time. So they're expecting me to stay here for some time. But don't worry, I'll come soon. So Nanda Maharaj, with tearful eyes, with all the residents of Cowherd boys and Cowherd folks, left. This is another very, very touching scene, actually. Just imagine, they had been such close friends, Krishna and all those Cowherd boys. From morning till night they were together. Sometimes the cowherd boys would not even go home. When Krishna went home, they just slept under a tree. Thinking, waiting that okay, when morning will come, then Krishna will be able to see Krishna again. There was such close intimacy. And now they have to leave Krishna and Balaram behind. So they are going back. They have to go back to Vrindavan. It's a very painful situation. And then anyway, they had to part. And Krishna and Balaram received their Upanayan, sacred thread ceremony. Their initiation, Garga Muni initiated them. It's a custom of a Kshatriya to be, to have the Upanayan that is brought to a guru. Then the consideration was, who would be Krishna's teacher? They need to go to Gurukul. All these years they just stayed in Vrindavan, tended cows, did not get any education. So they have to get education. Who would be the guru? Krishna suggested Sandipani Muni. Now, interesting thing to note is Sandipani Muni was not actually a devotee of Vishnu. He was a devotee of Lord Shiva. So why did Krishna select Sandipani Muni as his guru? Because if he selected a Vaishnav guru, the Vaishnav guru would not be able to teach. But there is a hope that Sandipani Muni, who is a follower of Lord Shiva, won't be that respectful towards Krishna. So would treat him more like a student. So Krishna stayed in Sandipani Muni's ashram for 64 days. And in these 64 days, Krishna mastered all 64 arts. It took one day to master one subject. All the subjects that one can possibly think of, Krishna mastered. That included also learning the language of the animals and the birds. Krishna could communicate with the animals and birds. Not only just the philosophy, history, etc. Not only just art of warfare. Not only the art of dancing and singing. So every single aspect of art was mastered by Krishna in this way. So it's a custom that after one gets the education, then one must give his guru dakshina. Those days there was no monthly fees in going to school. The whole education was free. Only at the end the disciple had to give the dakshina to the guru. So when Krishna and Balaram went to his guru and told that, Gurudev, please tell me what kind of dakshina we can give you. Sandipani Muni thought, he said, that what can I ask from them? He said, okay, I'll go and ask my wife. His wife said that, look, ever since these two boys came, I forgot the agony of losing my son. So now that they leave, my house will become empty again. And these two boys are not ordinary boys. So let us ask something unusual from them. Please ask him to bring back my dead son. bring back my dead son. So Sandipani Muni, being advised by his wife, went and told Krishna. That I went and asked my wife, and she said that if you want to give any dakshina, then please bring back my son. What happened to your son? He went to Prabhash Tirtha, and there he got drowned. So Krishna and Balaram then immediately went to Prabhash on a chariot, got a very wonderful chariot. They came to Prabhash and called the ocean god. So he immediately came, ocean god, Varundev, with many wonderful gifts from the depth of the ocean. And please tell me, what can you do? My guru's son drowned here. So bring him back. So ocean said, no, it's not me that took the son. There is a demon called Panchajanya. So he actually stole the son. Oh, Panchajanya, where is he? That demon stays at the depth of the ocean. So Krishna and Balaram immediately dove into the water, and they, at the depth of the ocean, they found Panchajanya, a terrible demon who was hiding himself in a huge conch shell. So he attacked Krishna with a trident, and he hurled the trident at Krishna. Krishna caught the trident and he hurled it back, and it pierced Panchajanya's body. But still he pulled it out and started to fight with Krishna. So in this way, for a long time they fought, and then finally Krishna killed Panchajanya. But when he went inside that conch shell, couldn't find the child. What happened? The child is now at the abode of Jamaraj. So Krishna took that conch shell. That is how Krishna actually got his conch shell. Panchajanya Rishikesha, you remember? Krishna's conch shell is Panchajanya. So Krishna went to Jamaraj's abode, Sangjamini Puri. And from outside he blew the conch shell. And the sound of the conch shell vibrated the whole planet. And it is said that there are 8,400,000 chambers, or rather sections of Jamalaya. Sorry. And whoever heard the sound got delivered. Even from Jamalaya, just by hearing Krishna's conch shell's vibration, they became delivered. So hearing the sound, Jamraj came out, fell at Krishna's feet. Jamraj is a great devotee of Krishna, right? So that's why I say that even if we go to Jamalaya for some reason, devotees generally don't go to Jamalaya, Jamraj's abode. Because devotees are free from sinful reactions, because they have surrendered to Krishna. And Jamaraj also told Jamadutas that when you see people with Kantimala, Tilak, in a body, don't go near them. From a distance you offer obeisances and about turn. So that way, that's how we can see that devotees are beyond Jamadutas jurisdiction, Jamraj's jurisdiction. So, but just in case, we have to go to Jamraj. Just in case we forget to put the tilak, Kanti Mala, and Jamadutas come and grab us and drag us to the Jamraj, Jamalaya. What will you naturally do? Offer obeisance. Isn't it a great delight to, won't it be a great delight to see Jamraj, one of the 12 Mahajans? Mancha kalpatar pascha, offering obeisances. And at that time Jamraj also will say, oh, after a long time found a devotee association. So this is how, even if a devotee has to go to Jamraj, Jamraj's abode, nothing to worry about. But don't forget to offer obeisances to him. That's the secret of spiritual success. And so he, Jamraj came out and he asked, I'm so fortunate that finally you came to me. Please tell me, what can I do? So Krishna told that this boy drowned his guru's son. And then Jamraj brought him back. So this is how Krishna and Balaram brought the son of Sandipani Muni back to life and offered him back to his guru. That's how he paid the Guru Dakshina. And then Krishna, as he promised to Akrura, he went to Akrura's house. Remember? When Akrura brought Krishna to Mathura, he requested him to come to his house. He said, no, not now, but I'll come after I kill Kamsa. Because this is the custom. That when somebody goes with certain, until and unless the mission is accomplished, he doesn't do anything else. He's focused onto his mission. I've come here to kill Kamsa. I'll first kill Kamsa and then all the other things. Yes, Sandipa and Akrura, I'll go to your house. Yes, Kupja, I'll go to your house. So he went to Akrura's house, and after some, Akrura was so pleased to see him. He did not. Pandavas were persecuted in so many ways. But when he met Kunti and the Pandavas, Akrura had another wonderful realization. That although the Pandavas had gone through so many tribulations, so many difficulties, but they were happy. And what is the secret of their happiness? The secret of their happiness was that all these difficulties have forced them to surrender to Krishna and take shelter of Krishna. So they just took the advantage of it. Yes, material difficulties have come, but those difficulties have forced me to become more dependent, more surrendered unto Krishna. Although harassed by the Kauravas, they placed all their faith in Krishna. So this is what we find in the devotees. Like yesterday we discussed about Prahlad Maharaj in the Bhagavatam class. Like, difficulties do not deter the devotees from hearing from Krishna. Rather, they make them more dependent upon Krishna. So this is how Akrura brought the message of the Pandavas. Then Krishna went to Kubja's house with Uddhava, and Krishna spent some time with her. Then Krishna, understanding the condition of the residents of Vrindavan, sent Uddhava to Vrindavan. And the residents of Vrindavan, seeing Uddhava, they thought that Krishna has come. Because Uddhava looked like Krishna, had a similar features as Krishna. And Uddhava used to wear the dresses that has been used by Krishna. So he was actually wearing the dress just like Krishna. And he also came driving with the same chariot that Akrura came to take Krishna. So, seeing from a distance, the residents of Vrindavan felt that that Krishna came back. And Akrura, actually Krishna wrote letter to everyone. And he handed the letters first to Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, and other gopas and gopis. So Nrsi Uddhava spent some time in Vrindavan. And he was totally overwhelmed by seeing their condition, seeing their love for Krishna. Uddhava didn't have any idea how deep can one's devotion be towards Krishna. So he was so touched by their devotion that Uddhava desired to become a blade of grass in Vrindavan so that he could get the dust from the lotus feet of the gopis. Asha maho charanurem jushamaham sham Vrindavane kimapi gulma taro shathina. He desired to become a creeper or a weed or a grass in Vrindavan. In Brihad Bhagavatamritam, a question arises: why Uddhava wanted to become a blade of grass? If he wanted to have the dust from the lotus feet of the gopis, why did he want to become a blade of grass? The answer to that has been given, that when the gopis hear Krishna's flute, they run to meet Krishna. At that time, they do not have any awareness where is the road or where is the forest. So completely losing themselves, they run to meet Krishna. And the chances of them running through the wilderness is more than running to the road. So that's why Uddhava wanted to become a blade of grass there. And when you go to Radha Kund, you'll see Uddhava is still there as a tree there. So this is the glory of Vrindavan. And if we have some time, we will go into the details of certain sections. And I would like to go through this one, Uddhava going to Vrindavan, what he experienced. Meeting Nanda Maharaj, meeting Mother Yashoda, meeting Krishna, the cowherd boys, meeting the gopis. So Uddhava gave them the assurance that he would bring Krishna back. So when he went back, he told Krishna, "Krishna, you must go to Vrindavan." And upon Uddhava's request, Krishna revisited Vrindavan. This also we'll describe later on how Krishna visited Vrindavan, what actually happened when he visited Vrindavan, how they reacted. And in the meantime, Kamsa's wives, who were they? Who were Kamsa's wives? Two daughters of Jarasandha. So Jarasandha at that time was the most powerful king. Jarasandha also has a history. Maybe we can just discuss that. Jarasandha's father, the king of Magadha, I think his name was Vridhakshetra. So he didn't have any son. So he was very, in those days, if one didn't have a son, he used to feel very morose. You have seen that with Chitraketu. And so he also was very, very morose that he didn't have any son. So one day he came across one saintly person, and he expressed his heart's agony to them, sadhus, that sage. And the sage took up, taking compassion upon him, gave him a mango. He said, give this to your wife and she'll have a child. So Vridhakshetra had two wives. He was equally attached to both of them. So he didn't want to show any kind of favoritism or partiality to anyone. So he divided that mango into two and gave it to his two wives. And in course of time, both of them became pregnant. And in due course of time, both of them gave birth to one half of a dead body. So, dead children are born. So, those two newborn sections were thrown away. And at night, one demoness named Jara, he came across this flesh of newborn. It was a feast for her. So she was very happy to have such delicious feast. So initially she just took it up and she started to play with it. And then at one point she just joined two halves into one. And immediately the child started to cry. Came to life and started to cry. So she took pity and she thought, oh, the king doesn't have any son. So let me offer it to the king. Thinking that, she actually brought this newborn baby in front of the king's palace and left it there. So in the morning, the king saw this child. And so since the demoness Jara joined these two halves, therefore he named the baby as Jarasandha, joined by Jara. And in course of time, Jarasandha became extremely powerful. And Jarasandha couldn't be defeated by anybody. Nobody could kill him. Even Krishna couldn't kill him. Or Krishna didn't kill him, let's put it that way. The only person who could kill, you remember who killed Jarasandha? Bhima. And Jarasandha also was a very generous person. If a brahmana came to him and asked him something, he never refused. So Krishna, when Yudhishthira Maharaj decided to perform the Rajasuya Yajna, so the Rajasuya Yajna demands that all the kings have to be subdued. Then only one could perform Rajasuya Yajna. So the biggest impediment was Jarasandha. So, and Jarasandha, Krishna knew that Jarasandha couldn't be killed ordinary way. He knew only way that he could be killed was, anyway, I'll come to that afterwards. So, it was decided that they would go to Jarasandha. Bhim, Arjun and Krishna. Three of them disguised as brahmanas and came to Jarasandha. So they said, Jarasandha said, look, please tell me what you want. Krishna said, I'll tell you at night. At midnight, let's meet. Jarasandha said, fine. So at midnight, Jarasandha came to meet them. And so please tell me what you want. He said, this brother of mine is very fond of wrestling. So he actually wants to wrestle with you. And Jarasandha said that I knew that you are not brahmanas. Because your feature doesn't look like brahmanas. Broad shoulder, narrow waist, powerful legs. These are the signs of the brahmanas. And on top of that, no matter how much you are trying to hide the mark of the strings of the bow, you can't do that. So you are kshatriyas. Who are you? I'm Krishna. This is Bhim. This is Arjun. So Jarasandha said, when the way you came, I knew that you are you coming as enemies. Because a friend comes from the front door, but you came from the back door. So this is how Jarasandha gave all the reasons that he figured out who they were. And Krishna said that we want a fight with you. You can select any one of us from three. Jarasandha said, Krishna, you are a coward. You ran away from the battlefield. I'm not going to fight with you. Arjun is a child. But Bhima is the right match, so I'll fight with Bhima. So for a long time, for 18 days they fought. Non-stop. And no one could defeat anyone. Both of them are equally powerful. So at that time, Krishna gave some indication. That indication was, Krishna took a blade of grass and split it. That's how Bhima got the message. What is the message? Split his body. That's the only way he could be killed. He had been brought to life by joining these two parts and now splitting those two parts. So then Bhima did that. The Jarasandha post posture. He put Jarasandha's leg with it, pressed it with his leg, and with his hand, he holding the other leg, he just gave a massive massive tug, and Jarasandha's body was split. Then also something amazing happened. As he left the body came and joined again. So they had to fight again, split. Then finally, Krishna indicated, don't put the bodies straight to each other, just put the other way around. The back to back. So this is how Jarasandha was killed. Anyway, this happened much afterwards. But here, Jarasandha attacked Krishna, Mathura. When he heard what happened, how Krishna killed his uncle, Kamsa, he said that I will make this world devoid of jadus. And he collected 23 Akshauhini soldiers and attacked Jarasandha, attacked Mathura. There in Mathura there was no army because all the soldiers were Kamsa soldiers and most of them left. So practically Krishna and Balaram had to fight alone with 23 Akshauhini. 23 Akshauhini, well, if we put it together, it would come to about 1.4 million soldiers. 65,000 chariots, 65,000 horses, multiplied by 65,000 elephants, multiplied by 4, that many number of horses and pedestrian, 5 times that number. So this is how one Akshauhini is comprised of. And 23 times that was the collected strength of Jarasandha, and he attacked Mathura. And at that time, from Vaikuntha, 2 chariots came for Krishna and Balaram, filled with all celestial weapons. So the residents of Mathura, especially the women and elderly people, are watching what's happening outside the city wall. And they saw Krishna and Balaram with a few soldiers went. And as they went, it seemed like the ocean has engulfed them. The ocean of soldiers just surrounded them. And it looked like it's all over. But then they saw that ocean started to recede, and from the middle Krishna and Balaram emerged, and very quickly they diminished all the soldiers of Jarasandha. Now Jarasandha, then Balaram was fighting with Jarasandha, his chariot was broken, his chariot driver was dead, horses were dead. So Jarasandha's weapons were also cut to pieces. So Jarasandha was standing there alone, without weapon. So Balaram threw away his weapon. That's the chivalrous gesture of the warriors of Vedic time. If the enemy doesn't have a weapon, he won't be attacked with weapon. Balaram and Jarasandha fought bare hands. And finally Balaram pinned him down and he started to beat him. He was about to kill him. So Krishna just said, don't kill him, let him go. So being instructed by Krishna, Balaram decided not to kill Jarasandha. So then he let Jarasandha go. And in this way Jarasandha attacked Mathura 17 times. And each time he attacked with 23 Akshauhini soldiers. The question arises, why didn't Krishna kill Jarasandha? Then all this problem would have been solved. Again and again he is attacking, causing so much distress. The answer to that was, Krishna came to kill the demons. The world has become full of demons at that time. So Jarasandha was actually Krishna's recruiting agent for demons. 23 Akshavini annihilated. Jarasandha collected another 23 Akshavini demons and brought to Krishna. Vinashaya cha duskritam, Krishna wiped them out. And in this way 17 times Jarasandha was defeated. His entire army was completely wiped out. But Jarasandha was allowed to go. So this is how Jarasandha attacked Mathura time and time again. But the 18th attack was quite special. So that will take some longer time. So that I'm keeping for tomorrow. The interesting 18th attack of Jarasandha and what happened. You know one thing, that Krishna is Ranchor. What's the meaning of the word Ranchor? How many Gujaratis are here? Ranchor ka matlab ki chhe? Right. Running away from the battlefield. So Krishna ran away from the battlefield. So that we'll discuss in our next session. And if anybody has any question, you can ask.
So Lord Krishna did become the king of Mathura, but then later he became the king of Dwarka.
There also he was the prince.
Oh, yes.
Although he's called Dwarkadhish, Ugrasen was the king. Yeah? Kshatriya? They were Brahmin trained. Yeah. Now what's your question? Yeah, King Vrishabhanu's daughter was Sharmishtha and Devjani was Sukracharya's daughter.
When Krishna went into Mathura, he met many peasants in Kambasan, and he spoke. But how they reacted to Krishna was different. So, the washerman was mimical, the scripture was favorable to Krishna. So, how do we best place ourselves that when we meet Krishna or the guru or the representative, that we don't turn away from him, that we actually get the mercy, as it were?
No, but take the mic.
Thank you very much. So when Krishna went into Mathura, he met various servants of Kamsa, and some of them were favorable to Krishna, and some of them were inimical to Krishna. How, because we're conditioned materially, when we meet Krishna or the Guru, do we make the most of that opportunity and not be inimical, as it were? How do we decide that it is Krishna's mercy that decides which way we go?
Well, it's dependent upon the mentality of the person. Those who are, you see, the ultimate consideration is how materially one is motivated. You see, more materialistic we are, more averse we'll be to Krishna. So, it is, you see what happens? Materialistic attitude develops out of false ego. The false ego makes us think that we are the greatest. We are the best, we are the controller, we are the enjoyer, right? And when we harbor that attitude, we cannot really surrender to Krishna. When we have this false ego, then we tend to lord over everything and want everyone else to become our servants. We don't want to become a servant of anyone, right? Therefore, it is very important that we get rid of our false ego, get rid of our tendency to exploit and enjoy this material nature. Rather, develop an understanding and attitude that everything should be engaged in Krishna's service and Krishna's pleasure. And that is why it's so important to hear more and more about Krishna. Jarasandha in the other pastimes are, I have to check that. So, any other question? Yeah.
I have two more, I think. Thank you very much for the very nice description of Krishna's pastimes. I think the Guru Maharaj, I'd like to thank you very much for very nice functions of Lord Krishna's activities. About a question about Tilak. You know, you said when we wear a Kanti Mala and we put a Tilak, if the young ones come, they take about time. Now, if we do the Tilak with water in the nose in an everyday, I do put a Tilak on the body, is that okay?
Maybe the Jamdutas have special vision. To also recognize the water marks. Well, the ultimate consideration is the state of our consciousness. That is the most important consideration. You know, like, although it has been said, you know, Tilak and Kanti Mala, but the ultimate consideration is the state of our consciousness. How we are internally. If we are internally like pure, they'll see that. Yes? Give her the mic. Good question. The question is, how come Treta Yuga comes before Dwapar? General sequence is Satya, Dwapar, Treta, Kali. But this particular, you know, cycle, the 28th Manvantar of Vaivarshata Manu, there is a switch of Treta and Dwapar. Main reason is Krishna will come in Dwapar Yuga, right? And in the following Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Krishna will come as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now see, if it happened in Dwapar, then Treta, then Kali, then the long gap everybody would have forgotten Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's significance couldn't be recognized. Therefore, what happened, there is this arrangement that Treta will come before Dwapar so that Krishna will perform his pastimes towards the end of Dwapar, and as he would leave the planet, Kali Yuga would begin, and then 4,500 years will go by, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will come, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will indicate who this Krishna is and what is the specialty of Krishna's Vrindavan Leela. Because Krishna's Vrindavan Leela is not enacted in every Dwapar Yuga. It happens only once in a day of Brahma. Right? And in Brahma's day there are 14 Manus. The 7th Manu is Vaivarshata Manu. In Vaivarshata Manus, during Vaivarshata Manu's 28th Yuga cycle, in that Dwapar Yuga Krishna would come and reveal his Braja Leela. The original Supreme Personality of Godhead would come and reveal his Vrindavan pastimes. Now Vrindavan pastimes is a mystery. Vrindavan is a mystery that is not revealed to anyone. That Vrindavan is beyond Vaikuntha is not known by everyone. Even the residents of Vaikuntha do not know. So in order to make everyone understand who this Krishna the cowherd boy is, what Braja is, and what is the significance of Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, Krishna came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that is why there is a switch. Okay? Sarasati?
You once said that Krishna in Guru Vrindavan, those child pastimes are there, that we turn to the 6-year-old Krishna. Does it mean that there are many more lilas which we don't know, or because there are such sweet pastimes?
Krishna's Balya Leela, childhood pastimes, and Poganda Leela happens only in earth planet. Krishna is born, Krishna grows, right, and becomes his youthful. So in Golok, Krishna is eternally youthful. So there, they have the recollections, the memory. Krishna was born, Krishna did this, Krishna did that, then the childhood. That is the recollection of Krishna's Bhauma Leela, earthly pastimes. Right? So there, those pastimes are in memory, in recollections. Krishna is not being born and growing up there. That happens only in his Bhauma Leela. Therefore, some of the acharyas consider that Bhauma Leela is even superior to Krishna's Golok Leela. Yes, Sanjay? Give it to Sanjay, I named him.
Maharaj, sometimes we are praying in the worshipping of Vrindavan, the Krishna Bhakti and Vishnu Bhakti. Vishnu Bhakti is something Vaishnava, but Krishna Bhakti is Madhurya.
Yeah, it is perceived in Vaishnava Vishnu Bhakti because in the verse, in the shloka, it is written Vishnu Bhakti. That's
even Vishnu also desired to meet with Krishna.
Anyway, what I am saying, the pranam mantra is Vishnu Bhakti. That's why it is said Vishnu Bhakti. If you want to become wiser than the composer of the verse, then you can say Krishna Bhakti.
Hi, Vishnu Maharaj. Thank you for the nice class. I think I just wanted to expand on
Parikramapati's question. Except that in the other mantras, Krishna Lila is not performed. Does that mean those souls who are there in other mantras don't actually experience anything to Krishna?
I didn't get it. Reciting
so,
it?
You know, this is the 27th mantra, 28th mantra, where Krishna appears, and then straight after that, Jitra Mahaprabhu appears in Kali Yuga. But in the other mantras, Krishna doesn't appear.
Krishna appears, but that Krishna is not Supreme Personality of Godhead. The source of Eti Changsha Kala Pumsha, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, not that Krishna. They are Krishna's incarnations. That is, that Krishna is an incarnation of Kshirodakshayi Vishnu.
Thank you.
Yes.
When I face a spiritual difficulty, I pray to Lord Nrisimhadev and Shri Gaurangai. But I always have this doubt. I think that this spiritual difficulty was put in my way to make me surrender to them. But now I am trying to get away from this problem by praying to them, please make this problem go away. So maybe I'm obstructing the natural way of, I mean, maybe they have different plan for me and I'm trying to obstruct the plan by praying for by praying just to leave my problems. So I don't understand what to do in such cases.
If you have a simple solution, and do you want to take that or not? So if by praying, if you can get rid of the difficulty, do you want to be stubborn and continue? No, I want the difficulty. Right? So that's why praying to the Supreme Lord is always auspicious and beneficial. Because by praying, we are remembering Him. By praying, we are depending upon Him. And when our prayers are heard, our faith becomes established. Right?
Well, can I just put more specific my question? Like my parents are not very much available, so I try to pray to Krishna that somehow this happens in a more favorable way. Some devotees say that you should not pray like this every time. Maybe you should try. You should forget about the problems. So Krishna will obviously take care of this. You should try to preach and give this Krishna consciousness to others rather than always thinking about your own.
Who told you that? No, there is no harm in praying. That Krishna bestows His mercy upon your parents also. That you have become a devotee, Krishna will bestow His mercy upon them. But you can accelerate that mercy by praying to Him. Right? So, charity begins at home. So why shouldn't we pray for our dear ones, near ones? Yes.
What about the Kali Yugas where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not appear? What's the reincarnation of Krishna?
Then you don't get an opportunity to go to Vrindavan.
Is there a yellow complexion incarnation of God? Is there a yellow?
Yeah, he comes as a yellow incarnation, but not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the combined form of Radha Krishna. Not that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Gaur Premanande, Hare Krishna.